Thank you, Dr. Kasten, Dr. Lott, blessing us musically. Let me say what joy it is. Each time we have the commencement exercises to bring an address to the graduates. As I say, I think every time I do this, I know candidly none of you come here to hear the commencement address. And I acknowledge that. I tweeted and posted on Facebook and Instagram earlier today that this month marks the 20th anniversary of my own graduation from Southwestern Seminary, when my president, Ken Hemphill, handed me my hard-fought Master of Divinity with Biblical Languages diploma at Travis Avenue Baptist Church. And in some ways, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years, honestly. Now, candidly, I don't remember what the commencement address was that day. And I didn't even take time to look it up in the program that I remembered. And so in thinking about that fact, I've tried to, in my 3.5 years as president here, to use this moment as sort of a time more of not just presidential, but pastoral exhortation to our graduates. Because this is the last time that we will ever be together in this particular gathering or assembly, this side of eternity. I hope you appreciate that each time there is a commencement ceremony at Southwestern Seminary, it is a once-in-a-lifetime congregational meeting. And in light of that fact, and in light of the moment we find ourselves in today, the text I was drawn to is the text that my colleague, Dr. Karen Kinnemer, so beautifully read from Romans 12. Now, obviously, I'm not going to do an in-depth, exegetical, expositional message on the entirety of Romans 12, or we would be here until after lunch today. But I find some things in this passage very interesting. And most of you, if you are preachers or teachers of God's Word, I'm confident that you have dealt with Romans 12, especially the early part of that, because we could almost probably quote, hopefully in the Greek, right, Dr. Taylor, in terms of what it means to present ourselves, our bodies, as living sacrifices. That is our spiritual act of worship, our act of devotion and dedication. And you know, again, Paul, in terms of the structure of the great book of Romans, has all of the richness of theological depth and covenant history and the like in the first 11 chapters. Then he really kind of transitions to the practical outworkings, the applications of this in the lives of the believers, his message to those believers gathered in Rome. And there is a sense of urgency we find here again when he says, I urge you, I beseech you, to use good authorized version language. And oftentimes, candidly, we stop there about verse 2. But I think particularly in a commencement exercise, in light of what the temptations and tendencies can be in the nature of academia, we should never stop at verse 2. But we should keep going, because there are a number of exhortations that are present here in the succeeding verses that are exhortations that I believe not just this graduating class, but all of us need to hear afresh and anew, especially in this moment we find ourselves in, where again, the witness of Christianity in our culture today, I must be very candid with you, is decidedly mixed. Because on the one hand, we find so many things that commend the faithfulness of the orthodoxy, the richness of biblical and theological truth, the depth and preciseness by which we are seeing theology taken seriously and articulated by so many. And again, we should celebrate and rejoice, particularly for those of us engaged in the task of theological education. If I might be so bold to say, ours is the golden era, the golden age to do what we do in terms of making theological education more accessible and affordable and available for all. It is a glorious reality. And even this morning, in the time to come where there will be the conferring of degrees and presentation of diplomas, I really do believe we are seeing the inbreaking of a Revelation 7:9 vision with those who have come literally from around the world to pursue theological education here at Southwestern Seminary and who will go forth and go to the nations to proclaim Christ in ways that literally would have been unavailable even 20 years ago. We have graduates who are present here today that they are here on our campus for the very first time because they have taken advantage of the fact that they can receive a Southwestern Seminary education entirely online. And yet, there are natural temptations that come from the pursuit of higher education. In fact, for much of our world today, the desire to attain higher education is to chase that most desirable of all things in terms of our broader cultural context, success. To be a success. And of course, oftentimes by how the world defines success, in terms of monetary achievement, positional accomplishment, climbing the ladder, having certain things that are seen to be what the world defines as success. And yet, here in Romans 12, Paul gives far more attention to matters related to character than matters related to competency, capability, or any kind of other human achievement. And it's striking to me there in verse 3, Paul writes, "For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think." Now, that's a dangerous word to say at a commencement exercise where we have people who are wearing all kinds of academic regalia, who have achieved undergraduate, graduate, and professional and research doctoral degrees. And not just in terms of the North American higher education landscape, where fewer than 2% of North Americans have achieved a terminal degree. And we will confer several of those today. But if you think about the state of the global church, we are in a very privileged position in terms of what we have been able to deliver to you and what you have been able to receive. And if you are not careful, it can lead you to think of yourselves more highly than you ought. There's an old line that the old preachers used to talk about how I've met some Baptists who could strut sitting down. And I have too. And probably, if we were all honest, at times that description may even apply to some of us. Moment of confession. When I received my doctoral degree 15 years ago this December at another seminary, I was a faculty member there, junior most assistant professor. And I went to the campus bookstore soon after my graduation, back when we still had brick-and-mortar bookstores, right? And I went in, and I was buying a book and checking out. And the associate there said, "Do you need anything else, Mr. Greenway?" And it was just one of those moments where I thought to myself and said, "It's doctor." Just being honest. 4 years of labor and toil and tears. 4 years that, again, if you will forgive me, ladies, it is one of the closest equivalents to childbirth a man will ever experience. And I was insulted that he didn't know that I was Dr. Greenway, not Mr. Greenway. I was wrong. I was wrong. We're taking that moment to try to correct him in a spirit of, you need to recognize what I've accomplished. You need to recognize what I've done. I say that to you to say, particularly in moments like this, especially for those of you who have earned those hard-fought professional and research doctoral degrees, there can be that tendency to where, well, by golly, I've earned it. I'm gonna make everybody call me doctor on my staff. I'm going to put it on my business card. In fact, I'm going to put doctor, my name, DMIN, or PhD, which, by the way, let me just add as a formality, either put the doctor in the front or the degree in the back. Never put both. That's just stylistically incorrect. Don't put on your signature doctor so-and-so, comma, PhD, or DMIN. That's just wrong. But before you do that anyway, ask yourself, am I doing this because I want to be thought more highly of than somebody else? Is this really about me? And so my friends or the world or that person that I was in school with who made fun of me, I'm going to show them what I've done. I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. And Paul goes on and uses the body imagery here, right? And some of you will recall at my inauguration ceremony as the president of this seminary, I talked about the One Southwestern vision. I talked about and told a different story then about how 20 years ago, as a very proud graduate of the School of Theology, I used to make fun of those musicians who had to wear pink in ceremonies like this, and the folks from the School of Educational Ministries who were basically always doing paper and crayons and paste, until, of course, in God's kindness, providence, and economy, I married an MACE graduate of the School of Educational Ministries. That'll keep you humble. There can be even the tendency, even amongst those of you who are graduating, to think, I did a harder degree. I was here longer. I paid a higher price. God, in his economy, gives each of us gifts and talents and what he expects from us. And how dare I put the standard that God has placed upon my life in terms of the calling and the way he wants me to use my gifts and to say, if you don't do it exactly the way I do it, then there is something deficient or wrong in you. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't know how God has called and gifted you. You will stand before God one day as an individual, and you will give an account of yourself before God for what you did, not based upon what I think, but based upon what he thinks. The stewardship he's entrusted to you. We have different gifts. And whatever those gifts are, use them. I celebrate the fact that there are people who I get to serve with and labor together here at Southwestern Seminary with who have gifts I don't have. I love the fact that as the president of this seminary, I am not always the smartest person in every conversation. By definition, if we have a faculty of servant scholars, they should be the experts in their particular fields of expertise. But sometimes we can lead ourselves into thinking that we're always the smartest person in the room. We're always the one every eye should look to. We're always the one who should be in charge. We're always the one who should have the last word. We're always the one who should come out on top. We'll think our gifts are better than somebody else's gifts. And Paul challenges us against this thinking. And in fact, there in that last section, beginning in verse 9, he really drives this point home. Let love be without hypocrisy. By the way, that's a word we need to hear, because there are times where people will look you in the eye and say, I love you, and then stab you right in the back. That's been what we've seen, particularly today, in light of what social media will do, where we will tweet, post, and communicate things on social media that we would never look somebody else in the eye and say to them. And let me just lovingly and pastorally exhort you, if you are not man or woman enough to look somebody else in the eye and say it to them, don't you dare post that on social media for the public to see. Because what you're doing there is you're trying to cause others to think more highly of you than they ought, or to think things about you that they should not. May your love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. Not in having honor shown to you, but in showing honor to others. By the way, is this not what our Lord did there on that first Monday, Thursday night, where with his disciples, the King of the universe, the crystal Christ, he who knew no sin, he who left the glory of heaven, stooped over and began to wash the feet of his disciples, the towel and the basin. If it wasn't too much for our Lord to do, then how can you or I ever think that that is somehow beneath us, beneath our dignity, beneath our duty? Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Wow. Live in harmony with one another. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. That's not just a word from the believer to the non-believer. That's a word to the church. That's a word to the Southern Baptist Convention. That's a word in this moment we find ourselves in, where we are so factionalized and tribalized, and it's us versus them, instead of recognizing it is we. We're together. Because what unites us is the gospel of grace demonstrated to us in the love of Christ, where Christ chose to die for you and for me. And how can I, as someone who is a recipient of divine love and divine mercy, who is an object of God's saving design and intention, ever be at the place where I fail to acknowledge someone else made in the image of God, who was an object of infinite worth, as somehow less than that same dignity? Live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on you. Do not avenge yourselves. Leave room for God's wrath. You are being sent out into what many have regarded, rightly I think, as a Romans 1 world. I mean, you start picking up about verse 18 in Romans 1, and it is like reading what is happening in our landscape and across our world today. In every sense, where everything that is wrong is being declared to be right, everything that is right is being declared to be wrong, and all of that. You look at what is happening in terms of our broader socio-cultural political agenda, it is a Romans 1 agenda. May I submit to you that the only answer to meet a Romans 1 agenda is a Romans 12 ministry. A Romans 12 approach to living faithfully, fruitfully, as followers of Christ, as servants, as stewards of what has been entrusted to you. There are hundreds of years of aggregate theological education represented in the undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees that will be conferred today to you. You are those to whom much has been given. You are those to whom much is required. And as I shared yesterday at the graduation rehearsal, for most of our watching world today, the only evidence or testimony as to what difference a Southwestern seminary theological education makes is you. Your witness, your works, your words, your life, the lessons you will leave behind. On behalf of all of us who are Southwesterners, may the Lord use you as an instrument in his hand, through whom the love of Christ will show, through whom the life of Christ will be displayed, through whom the legacy of Christ will be magnified, until Jesus comes again. May you be those who do teach, transmit, and communicate truth. Truth without any mixture of error. But may you be those who are known for love, for grace, for mercy, for thinking of others more highly than yourself. If we will do that, then I believe God will use the spring 2022 graduating class in a way that truly, as my president said, will touch the world and will impact eternity. Blessings to you.